Well, later on, God willing, we'll be considering the conversion of Lydia. And with that in mind, just have a look at verse 2. Thy truth unchanged have ever stood. Thou savest those that on thee call. To them that seek thee, thou art good. To them that find thee, all in all. That hymn verse encapsulates all we know about the conversion of Lydia, the first convert in Europe, and perhaps, well, not the first, but one of the many cases of open heart surgery in the Bible. Well, we have two readings this evening, so I'd like you to turn in the book of Acts. And he said the Gospel of Acts. Well, it is the Gospel of Acts, isn't it, really? Acts chapter 15, verse 36, down to chapter 16 and verse 5. Acts chapter 15, verse 36, down to 16, verse 5. And we break into this chapter with a very sad argument. And the title heading in my Bible is Division Over John Mark. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we've preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. This is his nephew. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. The contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Timothy joins Paul and Silas. Acts 16, verse 1. Then Paul came to Derbe and Lystra. Behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Amen. Well, we'll carry on our reading now from Acts chapter 16, and we'll read from verses 6 to 15. The Macedonian call. Now, when Paul, Silas, and Timothy had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they'd come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he'd seen the vision, immediately we, because Luke had now joined them, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Lydia baptized at Philippi. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. We sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Amen. Well, we are very, very fortunate, aren't we, in our church to have such a lively interest in the work on the mission field. Over in Leeds, caring for life, or down in Liverpool with the homeless, or even in Skelmersdale, which is, where is he? Oh, there he is. Good evening, Mahmoud. Nice to see you tonight. Okay. Or we're now going to support Christian Witness to Israel. Brilliant. We have our good friends at the Slavic Gospel Association, the European Missionary Fellowship, Grace Baptist Mission. And if you take time to read our missionary board, you'll read about the work of Joe Kirby and our friend Rachel and Alan Peel. Lots and lots of different work going on that we're able to support. And thanks to Mike and Pastor and different people, we have a real interest in the work of the gospel at this place. And that's good. That's foundational, isn't it, to any evangelical church. We're not a club who meet every Sunday evening and every Sunday morning just to look after ourselves. We want people to hear about the good news that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can go back into the Old Testament and back into the New Testament and see that's been foundational to the work of God anyway. So when the Lord Jesus Christ gave the gospel in a nutshell, for God so loved the world, that's what we want to do, take the gospel into all the world and be good missionaries. Our first reading from Matthew chapter 8. I've got loads of readings tonight, so I hope I don't lose my way. Now I'm going the wrong way already. Here we are. Matthew chapter 28 reminds us of the reason for our missionary work. The Lord Jesus says this: "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." If we didn't have that promise, our missionary work would be far, far, far different than it really is. So that's a high ideal, being missionaries. But of course, when it comes down to the practice, things can be far, far different. Yes, we want to be fishers of men and of women. We want to be in the right place at the right time. We want to be seen to be Christians who have a reason for the hope that lies within us. But as we've read in our first reading, it doesn't always work out. Now, all missionary work calls for prayer, wisdom, perseverance, patience, and obedience. And it was Paul who said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's a power unto salvation for everyone who believes, the Jews and the Gentiles." And again, if it weren't for that, Paul would not have travelled the length and breadth, finally of Europe, but the Middle and the Far East, in spreading the work and the word of the Lord. But as we read earlier on, division over John Mark, there are things which happened even in the life of the great Paul. And we could say that the work of God is never without its obstructions. The road can be very, very bumpy. But we must never be discouraged. If the work of God starts badly, it's going to end badly. It won't end badly. It will always end well. And there was a happy ending to this terrible argument that broke out between two great Christian men. Even Christians fall out. It's a sad fact of life, isn't it? We've known Christians who fall out over matters of doctrine and church practice, but this was over a family matter. Barnabas perhaps had been embarrassed when his nephew had walked away from the work of the gospel. And in effect, he said, "Let's give him another chance." And Paul said, "No way. He's let us down. We're on really important work, and the last thing we need is someone we can't rely on." And they wouldn't let it lie. And this argument went on. And this is how we know that this really is the word of God, because perhaps in other holy books they just draw a veil over this about the arguments and the disagreements, but no, the Bible is very, very candid. And we read as they went on In verse 39 of chapter 15, the contentions became so sharp that they parted from one another. Not never to speak again, it was all made up, but Paul was determined to go one way and Barnabas was determined to go another. But the encouraging thing is this, that they didn't say, right, we're not going at all. Paul was commended by the grace of God and two became four. We don't know what happened when Barnabas went to Cyprus, but in the providence of God, that's what happened. God's work never comes to a dead stop. Now we might think, looking around at the Christian church in the United Kingdom at the moment, God's work is almost faltering. It's carrying on. And God's work is always on the move. And God's workers are always on the move, looking and seeking for ways in which to serve the Lord. And why is that? Because God's work is not our work, it's His work. And the Holy Spirit inspires different people and at different times to do amazing things for the Lord. And so it proved here. Psalm 55. I just happened to flick across it today. And perhaps Paul or Barnabas might have been tempted to say, Psalm 55 verse 8 I think it is. Let's have a look. Psalm 55. Oh, I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. No. Once we are involved in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the work of mission, we can't just give up and say, oh, we've had an argument, or this has happened, or that's happened. It's a test of Christian character. And these two Christian men agreed to disagree, not for all time. The work of God carried on, because it is not dependent on what we say and we do. I think there's an old saying, isn't there, that man proposes, but God disposes. And we must be really encouraged by the fact that all things work together for good in the work that we have been called to. So we don't like arguments in the church, but good was to come out of this argument. And Paul, Silas, joined by Timothy and later by Luke, went their way, commended by the brethren to the grace of God through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul had this great vision of spreading the gospel. And on this, his second missionary journey, he was to meet up with Timothy. And for reasons of appealing to the Jews and not hindering the work, insisting that Timothy was circumcised so that there wouldn't be a stumbling block, Timothy was already a Christian and highly thought of by the church. But so the Jews wouldn't be suspicious, he was circumcised, and then they went their way. We come to something really interesting as they make their way into Europe, don't we? Verse 6 to chapter 16, we see some amazing things that happen when Paul, sensitive to the work of the Spirit, first of all, now when they'd gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. That's amazing, isn't it? God saying, don't preach here. This is a man who said, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But God said, no, you're not to preach, sir. You see, we believe, don't we, also in Christian work, but doors are open and doors can be closed. And doors can be closed and those doors can be opened. That's why we're celebrating 70 years of the work of the SGA, seeing the amazing opportunities we've had. And in other countries, like China at the moment, which who knows if God will bring that regime to its knees through the simple outbreak. Well, it's not a simple outbreak, but you know what I mean. Where they're in panic mode now. God perhaps has heard the word of his people and over many, many years is vindicating his people for the way in which they've been persecuted needlessly by the communist authorities, and perhaps doors might open again in China as people seek God. Who knows? But we do know this. As doors close for Paul, firstly in Asia, and then they come to Mysia, and then they try to get into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. And then passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and finally, a vision comes to Paul, and he hears a man calling him, come to Macedonia and help us. Now people say, oh, we'd be very, very wary of visions and how God speaks to us. Yes, we don't need visions now. We have the word of God. We have clear instruction on what we're to do and how we're to preach the gospel and what we can and can't do. But then we get this sense it's all very, very exciting and what's going to happen next, Paul? But here they are, and they find themselves at the right time, in the right place, and for the right reasons in Europe. They're looking for this man. Perhaps the hardest part for Paul was waiting to see what was going to happen next. But little by little, God is leading them, step by step, to go and see a certain woman at the riverside on a certain day. And we think that salvation is easy and it's in our command. Not a bit of it. God is supervising every single detail. And you know, the initial allure of missionary work is of excitement and going to foreign places and eating foreign food and enjoying the foreign culture and the foreign climate and things like this. But sometimes it can be really hard because we are waiting for the Lord to show us what to do and how to do it. We were talking with Ephraim and Lydia. They've just come back from Seattle. They went to Ephraim's sister's wedding. And I was saying, did you manage to go to Canada? He said, you're joking, aren't you? My word, they are really hot on Canadians. Not that we don't like the Americans, but the amount of passports and visas and things like that, that wasn't an issue back in the day, was it? Back when Paul was a missionary, it seemed he could go where he wanted, when he wanted and how he wanted, under the supervision of God. There are far more things to be taken into account now. And perhaps that might put the dampener on us when we think of being missionaries. All the bureaucracy and things like that and a different culture in which we live. But we see here that God was in total control. One of the things that missionaries will probably confess is no matter how wonderful it seems to go to India or China or Europe or here, there or everywhere, at the end of the day, you come to the same conclusion. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Men and women, wherever you go, they are all exactly the same. They need the gospel. They need salvation. They need forgiveness. Paul believed in that passionately. So here we are. Paul finally, without understanding fully why he was going, where he was going. He'd set out to strengthen the churches and now he wanted to go on and now God was guiding him. And finally they hear a man calling them. And it's wonderful to read that we see that they sailed from Troas in verse 11 and ran a straight course to Samothrace. Now they weren't being held back. They got straight to where they were going with no delays and nobody standing in their way. And you know, sometimes perhaps one of the hardest things of being a missionary is that sometimes it's not exciting. And sometimes we have to wait. And sometimes it's very, very ordinary. But there are times when God surprises us. And it is exciting. And we're going somewhere new. And we don't know in one sense what the future holds. I suppose we're to be faithful in the boring times. Pastor's got to be faithful when nothing's happening in church. There are no converts, there are no visitors, there are no new people. But we've to be so thankful to God when we do have visitors, when we do have new faces, when we do have those who are converted. But we're called to be faithful from one day to another. And so we see now that Paul is brought with his three friends. They sail from Troas. They run straight course to Samothrace. They come to Neapolis And then from there they come to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia colony, and then nothing. Absolutely nothing. There isn't a man or an angel greeting them saying, Paul, you've arrived. I'm the man who was calling you. No, it looks like for the next few days they're sightseeing. They're finding their way around. They're assimilating the culture. Paul was a great one for that, wasn't he? You know, he enjoyed meeting new people and disputing with people, going to the Areopagus, going to Mars Hill, saying to them, you've even got an idol to the unknown God. Well, I want to tell you about him. He didn't waste his time, but now they were playing the waiting game, and sometimes that can be very, very difficult, faithfully waiting on what happens next. Because the Christian life is not full of excitement, is not full of drama. Some Christians have to serve as missionaries in the most boring places. Waiting. Have you read about the missionaries? There's a couple who serve in Norway. I think they've been there for about 45 years. But they faithfully served for 45 years. Some people might say after 45 months, that's it, we're moving on. Or 45 days. Or 45 minutes. There's nothing here for us. Let's move on. No. God calls us to be faithful. And Paul learned that whatever his circumstances, he was going to be faithful to God. So there was no man there to greet them. No angel. No blinding light. No star to follow or anything like that, if you see what I mean. They simply had to play the waiting game. But there was going to be something amazing happen, and it came from the most ordinary backgrounds. We see, don't we, that on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer, it's a lovely old phrase in one of the Bibles, was wont to be made. In my Bible, it's customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. You see, Christians aren't odd people who are looking for signs on different people. Now, is this the one who's going to be converted? No, of course not. Paul and his friends said, right, on the Sabbath day, we know there'll be some people meeting. They'll have their own place of worship. It won't be in the synagogue, but we know where to find them. They'll probably be meeting in an open space. And if there's a number of them, they'll be worshipping God. So we'll just go down by the river at Philippi, and we'll look for them. And that's exactly what they did. Perhaps they did ask God, Lord, guide us to where we should go down the riverside, and may we find these ladies who are praying. Perhaps they didn't. Perhaps they went out and using their sanctified common sense, that's where they'll be. And they didn't bluster in and start, like Lee was telling us this morning, shouting at them, do you know this? No, they just sat down and started to speak to them. If we can't sit down and speak to people naturally and not being forced about what we believe and why we believe it, especially when people are showing an interest in spiritual things, that's how the Lord Jesus Christ treated all his missionary work. Remember, what's your name? Now that's one of the most basic questions we can ask someone, can't we, when we meet them? What's your name? Shake their hand. Introduce ourselves to them. And what are you doing here? And my name's Paul, and we've come from. And take it naturally. Because we don't need to be forced and unnatural and looking for visions and drama and things like that. Just do the things that we're good at. Some of us have a great talent for speaking to people. Some are people who know the scriptures really well and can speak to people about their own testimonies and back it up with scripture. Don't be over the top. Just be natural. That's what Paul was doing. He believed he was in the right place at the right time with the right people. Let me refer you to Psalm 145 and verses 17 to 19 to give an insight of what was going on in the life of Lydia. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. Here's what we need to listen to very carefully. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. That's what Lydia was doing. To all who call upon him in truth, the revealed truth that she'd got. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. That's absolutely amazing, it. That's what the psalmist wrote all those years ago. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. That's exactly what Lydia was doing. She had this limited perception that there was a God. She knew that they could pray to this God, and she believed that God heard her prayer. But so far, there'd been no answer. Now, ironically, it had been a man calling to Macedonia, and now Paul didn't think, we've made a horrible mistake, there's only ladies here, well, we better just leave them to their own devices and move on. No, of course he didn't. The Spirit of God impressed upon Paul, you're in the right place. This is the one I want you to meet. Lydia had been putting into practice what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Ask, seek, and knock. Luke chapter 11, isn't it? Well, I told you I'm going all over the place. All my bits of paper. Here we are. Luke chapter 11, 9 to 13. Here we are. Luke 11, 9 to 13. It had fallen down, it was there. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. That's what Lydia had been doing. We don't know for how long, but she was serious about finding this one, the Creator God. She knew intimately or innately there was someone there, but she wanted to get to know him, and that was God working in her own heart and life, because naturally we won't want, we're enemies of God. But God was working in her life. She was asking and seeking and knocking. Now, we've heard a lot about liberation recently, haven't we? We're finally free from Europe, for better or for worse. Harry and Meghan are finally free from the royal family, for better or for worse. And a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated the liberation of Auschwitz. These are all big, big subjects. But here we're talking about something which concerns every single one of us. We might take a passing interest in Harry and Meghan. We might take a passing interest in Brexit, unless our job's on the line. And we might take a passing interest in the history of what happened all those years ago in Poland and the Jews and the Germans. But the liberation of the soul, that concerns every single one of us. And here we see it in action. How God works to liberate a soul. And it's put very, very simply. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed, to pay attention to listen intently to the things spoken by Paul. Romans 10, 14 to 17. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Paul wrote that to the Roman church, and now we see it in action. How else was Lydia going to hear unless somebody was sent to tell her? What was that man going to tell her about herself and her sin and her Saviour and about God, the God who created all things and that for his glory? And Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's a power of salvation to people like Lydia and to people like you and to people like me. And thank God for those people who brought the gospel to us and didn't adorn it and had no exterior motivation and weren't doing it for the wrong reasons, but believed it was a God-given responsibility to tell people about sin and salvation and forgiveness and heaven and hell. We don't know what Paul spoke about. We don't know how long he spoke about it for. But as Lydia listened, something absolutely amazing, and only God can perform open heart surgery. She was a clever lady. She was a businesswoman. She was a well-respected lady. She was very wealthy. She had a family. She had a reputation. She had integrity. But the thing that she needed most, these men who'd come all the way on that missionary journey, initially for a man, no, they'd come specifically and specially for Lydia to hear this wonderful, wonderful message. And what was so wonderful about it? She was the first person, not the first lady, the first person ever converted in Europe. We're now living in Europe. This is where the gospel took root. God works in amazing ways, doesn't he? A rich businesswoman, but her riches would do her no good. A lady with a reputation, but her reputation would do her no good. She knew innately, and she understood when Paul preached the gospel to her, she believed. And how do we know she believed? Because she was also baptized. This wasn't the emotional outburst of a silly woman. This was the considered response of someone who heard Paul preach, believe and be baptized. And what a wonderful testimony it would be. At home and in that city, the change that had happened to Lydia. So we can say this, that years of seeking, praying, worshipping, listening are never, ever wasted. The word of God can go into a person's life, and if it's that good soil and they understand and believe, they will be saved. It will always accomplish that which was sent. It never returns unto God void. And people have done some amazing things and have made some amazing journeys. And here we see it all come to fruition with the salvation of Lydia. And God never changes. And today there are missionaries meeting people like her and others, obedient to the calling of the Spirit, who are out and about speaking the gospel, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and people are being converted. Now, it might not be in the United Kingdom. It might not be in Ormskirk or Orton. It might not be in Europe, perhaps. But somewhere today, someone has been saved. Well, thousands perhaps have been saved. Hundreds have been saved. Who knows? But the important thing in this is this. And the man who used to run, I think it was the Openers mission, is don't worry about everybody else. Are you saved? Don't get caught up in the great works of the missionaries and all that they're doing. Are you right with God? Have you been forgiven? Do you believe the gospel? Because that's what the gospel is all about. Paul was able to say, the God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's the most personal thing. And it's wonderful reading about what happened to Lydia all those years ago. But the work of the gospel and the power of the gospel is still the same. And we must ask ourselves and challenge ourselves, have we been born again? Do we believe what Lydia believed? Have we been baptized like Lydia was baptized? Have we opened not just our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, but opened our home and made an open display of all that we are? It's amazing, isn't it? Paul was willing to baptize a whole family, not because it was a done thing, but because we believe there was household salvation. And all those people came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Paul was given the opportunity to preach to them as well. So Lydia was well and truly liberated. She was still the same successful, wealthy businesswoman. But something amazing had happened in her life. And like Lee was saying today, about people looking on the negative side of Christianity, what have I got to give up? Well, Lydia didn't give up anything. She was in the right place at the right time. She was an open witness to the power of God in her life, and she was used by God in that part of Europe, and from there the gospel spread and multiplied, and it's still doing the same because God is still the same. His gospel is still the same. It's a power of salvation to everyone who believes, both Jew and gentle, no matter where you're from, how old you are, if you're a boy or a girl or a man or a woman. We believe that the gospel is still the power of salvation to everyone who believes. Amen.